It seems these days, less and less people take responsibility for their life. It seems less and less people master their emotions. They don't run their life. They allow life to run them.
Welcome to Rules for Successful Living with Brother Naeem Bey, a weekly journey into your mental, spiritual, and physical being.
Take care of your body. Our bodies are our house, and we're going to be living on this house our entire life.
Smooth 88.1 WHOV, Rules for Successful Living on your radio. Jay Lang and Brother Naeem back in the air chair. Live, we had some evergreen shows that were playing for the past couple of weeks as Brother Naeem's out there doing his thing, trying to make that paper, you know. So how you doing, brother?
I'm still trying to make some paper. I don't know where
it's at. And keep people healthy.
I'm definitely keeping people healthy, but the paper don't always show
up. Man, it's been so much on the radio, I mean on television about plastic bottles and, you know, and all this stuff, man, that we talk about on this show.
Yeah, and that's why I'm happy the fact that we have this show to offer to people so we can get them a heads up in the 911 on what's going on in society and how we can do what we can do to make things better, not only for ourselves, but for people around us, our families, and hopefully our friends and coworkers, because this is some really, really unusual times that we're in. We're coming up on an election with a few people that... Yeah, I don't know what happened to the statesman, you know, in this country. I remember hearing a saying one time that the difference between a politician and a statesman is that a statesman is always planning for the next generation, while a politician is always planning for the next election.
You know, and being whereas we can't really talk about, you know, who's running and who to vote for and all that kind of thing, but we can encourage you to vote. If you have not voted, vote. If you have not registered to vote, and there's some older people who haven't registered to vote, vote. And if you're sitting there saying to yourself that my vote doesn't count, you're very, very wrong. And to you, I would say, don't complain about anything. If you don't vote, you need to shut up because you did not cast your vote. So if you couldn't talk then, don't say anything now because you did not contribute and you did not cast that vote to make a difference.
Look, I started laughing because... most of the time, Jay and I, we share the same views. We're both looking at, you know, the conditions and things that we involve in based on our individual life experiences, and we share that with you. That is one point that I would say I feel the contrary. I would say that for those of you who do vote, you know, for those of us who do vote, then we should expect the people that we voted for to fulfill the obligations. Now, the people who don't vote, they're the ones that I say can't complain because we ain't put
that's
them in
office. That's why I said shut up.
Put them in office. But anyway, listen, we've been away for a couple of weeks, so we had to, you know, bring a little light to the show. But welcome to Rules for Successful Living. Thank you for joining in today. And this is your weekly go-to to learn how to learn the art of motivation, how to set goals, how to motivate yourself and others, provide you information so that you can use your time more profitably, get rid of bad habits and acquire good habits, how to accumulate wealth. We do have a diversity of information so that you can have rules for successful living. Thank you again for joining in. We have a wonderful show lined up today and a very special guest who's calling in from Canada. So we need to really give this brother his prompts because he has done something that is extremely, extremely relative and very positive about a condition that we're all involved in that we can't seem to get around. And what inspired me to bring him on the show, I had already purchased his book and I started reading it, and he and I had previous conversations. And this week I went back and watched a presentation on Amazon Prime Video. And it may be other places online, but I have the entire documentary on this program called, the name of it is Terms and Conditions May Apply. And those of you who have never seen it, I encourage you to watch it because it is extremely revealing and provides you with an enormous amount of background information about the digital age, how your information is being used. And most of us, when we subscribe to, what do they call them, apps, different websites, cell phone contracts, there's always at the bottom terms and conditions, and then also has in there privacy policy. Now, the way it sounds is like they're protecting you, and they are notifying you of these privacy policies so that you can arm yourself, and they're also giving you terms of agreement, they call them. And so it uses terms of use or terms of conditions. So this documentary actually goes into, I mean, you're talking about Facebook, Twitter, all the social media platforms, especially Google. I mean, they have so many.
And even now in some of the sites that you frequented along, you know, like Home Depot, Lowe's, I mean, they have these, you have to agree to the terms and conditions because everybody's selling your information.
Exactly.
And most people, when they click on it, they're in a hurry because they want to buy something. And some sites, if you don't click on it, it won't let you go to the site to do what it needs to do. If it's a site like that, I say stay away from that site.
Absolutely, Jay. But, good point.
But if you click on it, read it. And but most of the people, I would say, and this is just me talking, probably 70% of the people who see that don't read it because they're in a hurry. They want to get to what they want to get to, and they click I agree.
And the what you agree when you do that legally is called an adhesion contract. An adhesion contract is a contract that you're consenting to that is going to be enforced based on the terms of a contract that you have no knowledge of whatsoever. And so I studied this from a legal perspective, and when I was talking to our guest about it, he was saying, Naeem, that's an area that you should talk about. And I spent years studying constitutional law just for the sake of protecting my rights and understanding how the laws are applied and how they're written in this country. And so one of these days, you know, I may do a podcast about it. But anyway, what our guest is going to do is give you some really good insight and some nuggets on what you need to know from basically what's happening in this new digital age and how your information is being used. His book is called Reclaim Your Digital Gold, subtitled It Is Your Power, How Your Personal Data is Changing Business. And see, that's the thing. A lot of these things is happening is because it's not an attack on you personally. It's about these corporations making money without spending any to get it. It's an ongoing thing.
And the other thing, too, is the reason why you really should listen to this show is because it's expanding. It used to be they were just sharing your phone number and your address and you get this junk mail. Now, you know, it's stuff pops up in a text message and you're wondering how did they get your text? So and when you go to a certain page to look at something, you see these ads pop up in the corner that happen to be with the stuff that you like. You give all of that privacy up when you click that button and you don't read those five or six pages that you just scroll down to the bottom because you got to go to the bottom of it. And that's the crazy thing. If you don't read it, you have to scroll all the way to the bottom so that you can check the box. The box won't even turn. I mean, it won't even change so you can check it. Until they can say they went all the way down to the bottom and they read it. They don't know whether you're a speed reader or not, but they do know that you scrolled all the way to the bottom. So that's an assumption legally that you read it and you gave them the right to use your information. So you can't sue them or anything else and you're just kind of stuck. There's ways in software that can get you out of it, but I'm pretty sure he's going to talk about that.
Yeah, and the other thing is they can use your image. They can take your image and use it as an advertisement in another country and nothing, and they're making, you know, millions of dollars off of your image and things, and there's nothing that you can do about it. I went to Jay says like five or six pages. They've gotten down to, I had this one site, 34 pages of terms and agreements to use that site.
In legalese.
In legalese. And so our guest... his name is Wayne Hinds, H-I-N-D-S. Wayne is the founder and president of Truth Communications Media Publications and author of Digital Gold. Wayne is a technology specialist. with over 20 years experience of data analysis in the data analysis field. He's passionate about technology innovations, especially those driven by data, analytics, AI, all right, and their impact on the future of business. All right, he also founded and serves as president of Truth Communications and Media Productions. Wayne received his bachelor's degree in computer science from Toronto Metropolitan University. In 2015, he enrolled in the, quote, Big Data Analysis, unquote, program at his alma mater. For over 10 years, he has served on the board of directors and is and as the interim executive director of Mission Fest Toronto in Canada, one of Canada's largest event-based organizations focused on missions. Without further ado, we want to welcome Wayne Hines to our show, Rules Successful Living.
Oh, thank you so much, Brother Naim. What a pleasure and honor to be on your show today, and what a great opening and intro to our talk here, just listening to you both. I'm excited.
Well, I'm happy that you agreed to be on the show. We know your time is very valuable, and I want to put out there in the universe right now that we want to have you back on the show, Wayne, and talk about what people can do to protect themselves and what degree. We'll have a whole show on that, but today I want to welcome you in. And what if you're listening, if you have a question for Wayne, please text a message at 757-293-9007. That number again is 757-293-9007. And we'll be making some offers later on for you to receive some information that Wayne has for you. You can request that information by text messaging the same number. And you can also email me at brothernaim@icloud.com. That's brothernaim@icloud.com. One more additional address. My assistant, her name is G, so it's GEE@aquarite.net. That's GEE@aquarite.net, and she'll provide you that information also. As a matter of fact, you email her, you'll probably get it much quicker. But feel free to text message and email. And one of the things that I learned as a result of watching that documentary, Wayne, is that, and Wayne and I have spoken several times before today's interview, actually the last couple of months or so. And one of the things I wanted Wayne to do is let people know a little bit more about yourself, Wayne. Anything that you feel would be very important for the audience to know about yourself. I'd like to give the audience, give the interviewer an opportunity to talk about themselves. Just briefly, some things that you is important for the listeners to know about yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, thanks so much. You know, when it comes to technology, it's a passion of mine. And actually, I preface in the book, you know, my story and my journey, because with the book, actually, I, you know, take data, which we're going to be talking a bit more. I take data on a journey, and so how I landed in the area of technology is really interesting, because I used to have a love, not used to, I still do, a love for the arts. You know, I mean, you know, illustration, and, you know, when I was younger, as a child, I used to do freestyle drawing, you know, including, you know, looking in the mirror as an example and drawing my face. You know, I was passionate about that. But then, you know, technology, you know, burst into the scene, and I just fell in love with technology in so many ways, and still to this day, you know, many years later, I'm passionate about it. But my point is that with regard to technology, I've just always had this first love for it. So I even abandoned my interest in art to go to university and follow that journey to this day, where it is, you know, my main vocation. And I'm an entrepreneur. I run a couple of businesses. You mentioned the Truth Communications, which is a publishing company that help people bring their publishing dreams alive. My book is published under that that banner and that brand. And also, too, I help people grow their business online, small, medium-sized business, in the context of whether it be websites or you know, digital marketing services, just, you know, to grow their business, especially in the age we're in right now, moving to the digital world. And so I've been in this space a long time, and when the pandemic hit, everybody was forced to go online. And prior to that, I was leveraging and helping companies do those very things. So, you know, the technology is something that is very near and dear to me. I have, you know, I've been in this space for such a long time that I don't want to date myself here, but you know, and I'm very much a family man. My passion is everything I do revolves essentially around you know, my community and here, you know, I love the sense that we can be a part of something great and help each other, and you know, technology is one of those things that's right now is affecting all of us. And that's what I'm excited about in being able to help us and our community in this this space. So that's a little bit about me.
All right, Wayne, thank you so much. Now I think that your company is called Insight Consulting and Marketing. Is that the name of your corporation?
That's correct.
All right, so it's Insight Consulting and Marketing. Now, do you have a website where people can visit for that?
Oh, absolutely. They go. It's really easy. 2020, IC, the letter I, the letter C. .com. So that's 2020ic.com. So Insight Consulting for short is a long
as not. All right. And so before I forget, because I'll think of things and then forget to mention, I want to mention real quickly that if you email or text message me, I'll send you the cover of Wayne's book, as well as a link to his video. He has several videos, and I've went through a few of them, and we look forward those to you. If you'd like to, a video presentation that he does, as well as a cover of his book, if you email g@aquarite.net, she has those available for you, and you can text message the phone number as well. Wayne, understanding, you know, reclaiming your digital gold, understanding the core message, what is the central theme of, quote, reclaim your digital gold, and how does it address the relationship between data, AI, and the modern world? Could you answer that for me?
Sure thing. Yeah, so when I took this this book on, and I wanted to, it's my love letter to the world, essentially, and because of my journey in technology and just watching technology change our world and transform our world. But underpinning all of it is data. And data is one of the most important commodities of our time. In fact, The Economist wrote an article in 2017, which I referred to in my book, that data is more valuable than oil. Mm. Think about that. Data is more valuable. This is The Economist that wrote this in their article in 2017. And, you know, that's a huge statement, because our world runs on oil, you know, from gasoline to you know, the byproducts that comes from oil, and it's now saying that data is a more viable commodity. The underpinning theme to the entire book is how data has gone to a place right now where it has a supremacy position in our society, that there's a race for supremacy to acquire as much data as possible and to be the kings of data. And that's what big tech and many organizations is after, but we're willingly giving that data by participating. And I'm not an alarmist, so provide education. And so what I see here is that data is come to the point right now where not only is it being highly sought after, but think of where we are with AI, which we'll go into a bit more. AI, artificial intelligence, which has burst on the scene. By the way, I wrote the book before AI, and I highlighted some of these things before it came on the scene. AI consumes data. Data is food for AI. Without AI, without data, AI is basically just is just a toy. So that's the underpinning to the entire theme to the book, is really how valuable of a commodity data is, but we are willingly giving it away. It's one thing if there's a value exchange. But the value is primarily entertainment and accessibility, efficiencies. So all those things are good, right? But it's not necessarily monetary.
I wanted to, the couple of things while you were saying that came to my mind. One of them is that when you said that AI is fueled by data, And I figured that out on my own. And years ago, I can't think of a time where I ever did actually use these automated services where, you know, you call a company and they have an automated service and the thing pops up and says, I'm an automated service. I can understand full sentences or anything like that. I refuse to talk to them because I know that when they save and record that conversation you're having with that AI or that computer, that is fueling data, as Wayne has indicated, into that system, because a computer cannot originate a thought or a sentence or an idea, but it can replicate it. It can duplicate it. It can put it together. It picks up and it organizes information that's been fed into it to the degree that it can have a conversation with you. And so I refuse to use those things. I push buttons until I get someone talking on the phone because I don't talk to anything that's not human, other than maybe a animal, you know, but there's still, you know, creation. But I try my best at all possible to avoid talking and communicating with these computers, not only because I don't want them recording the conversation, but if I'm going to talk to someone, I'm going to talk to a human being. I don't like using the automated, the self-checkouts when you're going through these stores. I'm not going to call the name of the store, but one of them, they're a chain. I went in there, they didn't have no checkout people. All of the checkouts were actually automated or your self-checkout. I put my stuff down and walked out of the store and went to another one. Now, it's not like that in all of their stores, but this particular one, it was fully automated, and I refused to use them. You know, a lot of things that we do, like Wayne was mentioning, we fuel information to the AI and to this data network, and we voluntarily do it. We also volunteer our information by not, you know, protesting or not trying to avoid these adhesion contracts. Wayne, impact of data, and what, you know, when considering the impact of data, in what ways does the book suggest that data and technology is, I'm going to say, reshaping our daily lives? And give it to us in both positive and negative examples, please.
Yeah, great question. Our world has changed. I mean, we're not going back. The change is, you know, we can see many positives in that, but there's also, you know, as you asking a question, you know, some negative impact. So, you know, when it comes to efficiency, I mean, technology has done that. I mean, think of the various things that we can do and the access we have at our fingertips that we haven't, you know, we've never had before. I mean, there's incredible benefits there in terms of health benefits. In the health industry, the banking industry, all these various sectors and so on, but it's all around efficiency. See, over the years, efficiency has always been marked by innovation. And innovation has come through, you know, human creativity and so on and so forth, and that's wonderful. But we've got to a point right now where those efficiencies are now essentially being improved, self-improved, by us feeding an engine, if you will. So, you know, just to go back to AI for a moment, you know, when it comes to AI, and my book isn't strictly on AI, it's not, I cover off a variety of topics in the book, but just showing how data is underpinning all of that. But, you know, for efficiency, AI, you feed AI, it learns, it gets faster, it knows more about you, you know, and, you know, our mobile devices, we use it for everything. We're constantly connected. So there's, whether we are interacting with people in a social way, think of the amount of time we spend on social media, right? And think of the amount of time that we leverage, you know, our mobiles for interacting with one another. I mean, it becomes a key part of what we do. And again, data is what we are leaving each time we get on that. That's our footprint. We're leaving what I call in the book a digital footprint. So it doesn't matter if you just visit a website. It doesn't matter if you are just checking your bank account. It doesn't matter if you're texting someone a message. All of that is being captured in the digital world, and it there's a permanent residue of that footprint, even if we think we delete it. So there's a digital footprint is permanent. I can't underscore that. So, you know, because it doesn't just appear on your phone or on your computer, it actually goes on a server somewhere, right? And copies are made. So, for backup purposes. Case in point, I mean, if there was ever any kind of illegal activities, let's just say, and someone is, you know, is found to be, you know, a suspect or whatever, you know, they can go to, you know, the authorities can go to the cell phone provider or, you know, the host of that phone or network or whatever, and reconstruct the information, whether it has been deleted or not. So there is information, and again, that's with the, you know, again, I don't want to go too much into that. You know, that's there's some privacy concerns there and some other things, but I'm more talking about, you know, illegal activities or something that's egregious. And so when it comes to the positives, there's incredible businesses using it for developing growth, growing their business, for reaching a wider audience, a wider customers base, and so on. You know, I mean, there's just a plethora of things I would say in terms of how positive it is. On a negative side, or, you know, concerns, I would say, and I highlight some of these things in each of the, in each chapter. You know, with each chapter where I cover off a different topic, I highlight, you know, the potential ramifications of that. So, you know, something like, I'll give you an example of a new word that's come into our vocabulary as a result of you know, the social networks, for example, is FOMO. And it's an acronym, that's F-O-M-O, that stands for Fear of Missing Out. Well, it's something that many people just experience, and it's related to somewhat of a health, a potential health challenge down the road, in the sense that someone goes on their website, their social website or social media, just to see how their friends are doing or what they've done because they've missed out on, you know, an activity. Maybe they can go to the, you know, to an event or whatever. And, you know, we constantly are, you know, kind of in this mode of, let me see what's happening. Not all of us, but, you know, let me see what someone else is doing or what my friends have done, you know, that I've missed out. So I fear that I've missed out on something. And it can cause anxiety. It can cause emotional distress, especially amongst young people. And there are other concerns, too, in terms of the amount of time we spend on our mobile or on social media. In fact, there's studies done showing that it is addictive. It's very much, in some ways, can be like a drug. So that's some of the concerns. I won't go into, you know, all of that that I've listed, but there are many that, you know, certainly this whole new digital world brings that we have some concerns about, among some of the things you alluded to, Brother Naim, in you know, some, you don't want to talk to a digital thing. Some of us don't, and that's perfectly okay. But the way the world is going, we're getting farther and farther away from interacting with humans.
Oh, absolutely. There is a particular documentary I watched on, I can't remember if it was on YouTube or on Amazon Prime Video. I can't remember, but it was talking about the addiction of the use of phones in this day and time. And as a matter of fact, during that documentary, they indicated and was interviewing people who actually worked in that space of digital technology. And several of them say that their children do not use cell phones. They don't give them cell phones to use because they know what the implications are with someone using a tool like that who has no experience and doesn't know what they're getting into. And I have, because of my profession in water, and by the way, Wayne, I can tell you that data technology is not more valuable than water.
Absolutely.
I had to put that in there because they've been saying for a long time. No, you can't. They've been saying for a long time that the water and water quality is the next gold and the next oil industry, you know. And so I just want to put that plug in there because I'm in the water industry. But anyway, they indicated that they gave examples and showed little skits of children and how they react when they're addicted to the cell phone or this digital technology, and it's become an epidemic of their inability to talk to people and relate to people face to face. They get nervous. They don't know what to act. I mean, it's not something that's very, very
healthy
and energizing,
right,
and motivating. I should say motivating, because you have to understand something. Referring to the listeners, please understand something. When your child leaves home to go to school, you know a child to be one way. When that child comes back from school, you may not know that child in terms of their thinking, their values, what is being influenced in your child's mind. Now, that's easy to say. School starts, I don't know what time school was, 9 o'clock to 4 o'clock or whatever. That's 8 hours. That's 7 hours that someone has your child's mind. Then they leave school. No sooner they leave the classroom, they grab the phone, and now you have anybody in the world influencing what your child is thinking, how they're acting, and what is being programmed into their subconscious mind that causes them to act out in a way that you don't even know why. I've heard parents, I don't know why my child's acting like this. I don't know what's wrong with them. Well, the one first thing wrong with them is that you're not staying gatekeeper to your child's mind. You are not staying gatekeeper to your child's mind. And most of us not staying gatekeeper to our own mind, so there's no way we're going to be able to teach our children how to stay gatekeeper to theirs. And this is not something to alarm you about. This is something you just need to know, because if you're not aware of something that's happening around you, you're going to be affected by it subliminally. Mm. There's messages being presented to us and our children in a way that is unbelievable. I'll give you one example to try. Just go to Google and put in the word sex on Pepsi Cola cans. Back in, I'm going to say 1990. I forget that. They stacked the cans away, and the word sex is being spelt out. So they're subliminally programming your child to identify, and you as well, to create sex. And sex is a big motivator for selling products. I can go on with several different advertisements that's happening right now in the Hampton Roads on Billboard, that they're selling sex. They're selling this particular beer with sex. I mean, it's, you know, I know what to look for. This, I mean, I'd look at it and catch it right away. But the average person, because your mind is not radiating on that frequency, is being subliminally programmed to your subconscious mind. And you're concentrating on sex and not even realize it, because it's been so inundated into your subconscious mind throughout the day. So we have to learn some of these laws to help us stay gatekeepers to our minds. And I think that Wayne is onto something with enabling people to actually understand, and you know, what technology is doing and how it's used. Wayne, data and privacy. The title mentions reclaiming digital gold. Can you elaborate on what this means in terms of data ownership and privacy?
Yes, absolutely. One of the key elements of the book is about privacy. And before I respond to that, too, just to echo what you said about the movie that you watched and so on, it is a great one. It's called The Social Dilemma. And
What is it called again, Wayne?
The Social Dilemma.
Social Dilemma.
Social,
all right.
Social Dilemma.
Uh-huh.
You hit the nail on the head with that one, because that actually is Facebook CEOs, former CEOs, or executives, I should say, and as well as others in the social media industry, where they actually interview them, and they tell you very clearly in that movie that how addictive social media is, and the algorithms, how they've been coded in a way to make it what it is today. It's all intentional. So that is a great reference that you just brought up there, and I wanted to just remind everyone what the name of that movie is. That's a good one to reference.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of data and privacy, oh my goodness, the privacy is blurred right now. In one of the chapters in my book is called, you know, what is privacy? and I say that tongue in cheek, because privacy, there are lots of privacy laws. They're there to protect us. A whole industry around privacy, and it is just being threatened in many ways. But part of the challenge is that we're willing participant. When we give up our rights, we're giving up. We're not no longer protected. And that's one of the things that you see is happening nowadays, that's blurring the line so much. And we're doing it in a way that is not intentional. It's really a way of for what we were receiving, what we think we're receiving in terms of the benefits of it. So when we click on that terms and conditions button, you mentioned that earlier in your opening. My goodness, we're giving away so much if we were to read the fine print and details of that. Now, many of you may remember the time where Facebook and Big Tech, some of the other, Google was there also too, and some of the others were there in front of Congress, and they were grilling them. That was a few years back, you know, about, the power that they have, but also to the impact and potential negative impact on the society. Well, one of those key things that they were being challenged about was their terms and conditions. And if anyone will recall, in that that session, Facebook was basically saying, we cover everything. We make it available. People can choose not to accept that. Well, the legalese and all the terms on that is thousands of pages. And in fact, one of the senators, I believe, had said that very thing, is that, wait a minute, are you expecting your users to read the thousands of pages? And I think they had a visual stack of the terms and condition that was on the desk of the congressman that was there, that was questioning there, to show the visual image of the terms and conditions. It's not a one-pager. It's not a two-pager. It's not something you read, in your spare time. It is protecting in many ways, and so protecting those companies. So for us, you know, the terms and conditions are important, but by checking that box, we are giving away many of our privacy and many of our rights and so on. Now, let me say that there are some companies that do a great job on privacy, and one of those is Apple,
mm-hmm.
Apple ecosystem. The Apple ecosystem is tremendous in locking and providing things. But the point still remains that when we consent, when we're giving them, then we are actually potentially putting ourselves at risk in that. So that's one area, with the terms and conditions. And I know you and I both watched that movie, The Terms and Conditions May Apply. It's a great one. We encourage people to watch that too. But, you know, something as simple as when we go into social media, for example, and we post all of our personal information. You know, there are many people that will say what they're doing, when they're doing it, and it puts them at risk for, you know, prowlers or anyone, you know, wanting to, you know, harm them or know where they live and so on. A lot of our personal information is online. And I actually mention it in that same chapter. I say, do a personal inventory. In fact, each chapter has what I call digital gold nuggets, which are tips to encourage people to take action. Okay? They're simple things that they can do. So in this particular chapter, for example, I tell them how to do a digital inventory, do an inventory of their information online. You'd be surprised how much is out there. You know, not only your address, but also to you and your name and your phone number. But believe it or not, there is sometimes some information that is very surprising that you wouldn't know that's out there. And so because databases are being connected now and people are putting them more and more online. So anyway, when it comes to privacy, it really is a blurred line right now. And there's a yin and a yang, a pull, you know, on where it will finally net out, because in that same movie that you referred to, Terms and Conditions, mm-hmm. you know, there's been laws that's been enacted that says, you know what, for the sake of your privacy is protected, but under the law, if there's an egregious act or something and we need to go and dig deeper and so on, you no longer have privacy, right? You no longer have privacy because the laws can get access to everything they want to, the government or agents thereof.
Well, I would be in complete agreement with there is a necessity for the government to regulate how the companies are utilizing the data they're collecting. But you know, the government is no different than any other corporation. There's money in it for them. There's money in it for the people who are involved in, you know, running the country, as well as the people who are in corporations who are using lobbyists to get laws written in a fashion that benefits them. I mean, it's no secret now that that the bankers were having their lawyers write the legislation for the way they did some of these business transactions. I mean, and that's only after, you know, the was it 2007 fallout with the homes and how they were creating mortgages and giving people mortgages without any documents. I mean, it was just, and they had planned on it, knew it was going to fail. And they were conducting transactions that those who were betting on the whole system collapsing became incredibly wealthy. There's a movie about that also on YouTube. See, there's a lot of things that are being presented in the form of movies and documentaries that's very, very educational. It's entertaining and educational at the same time. And when we start realizing that we can't put our heads in the sand regarding these privacy invasions that I call them privacy invasions. Now, my sympathy is not to the people who voluntarily go on Facebook, go on Twitter, go on all of these online sites and just loaded with everything they're doing, from what they have for dinner, what time they went to the bathroom, and what time they're going to school and everything else. They're showing pictures of your food. You are fueling this AI, artificial intelligence, with information to track you. I mean, listen to your phone conversations. Recently, all of a sudden, I don't know about anyone else. I don't know, Jay, if you've experienced this. We have Amita Michelle here in the studio today. If any of you or any of the listeners, have you had a situation? Now, this happens with an iPhone. That's why I use iPhones. And all of a sudden, they just start recording. The phone's on the desk, and the recording button comes on and it starts recording the conversation.
No, I've never had that happen.
That's happening to me countless times, and I'm not pushing any buttons or anything. Even in the middle, let's say I'm talking on the phone to someone, all of a sudden the recording comes up because the phones have this you know, you can record conversation or dictate notes and everything. Check your phone. And I don't know if mine is malfunctioning or something, but that's what happens. So we have to be aware of these things that can't happen. My phone has been sitting on the desk. I've talked to other people and done the same thing. It just happens to call somebody. The screen has calls from previous calls I made on the screen, and the phone will dial someone's number. And we'll call it butt dial. And most of us heard that. Now it's not.
Usually that happens when you have your phone in your pocket.
I was going to say the same thing.
And the heat hits a sensor or something like that and it just calls somebody.
Jay, I don't know what phone you admire, man. That thing just calls somebody and it ain't more, but it's on the desk.
Well, that's fortunately never happened to me.
Yeah, no, that's good for. Yeah, fortune didn't happen. Exactly. Yeah. You know, so I'm just.
Somebody looking for you, brother?
Well, if they are, they can find nothing. Look, I'm as transparent as you can get because I know the laws, and I try. You know, if they are, you know, it's not something that's bad or anything.
I'm just joking.
Yeah, I know, Jay. Yeah. But listen, but what my point is, you know, a lot of these things we have to be consciously aware of our actions these days. I mean, you don't walk around paranoid. It's not about being paranoid. It's about being aware and being conscious. It's two different things. You have to be aware of something. And you have to be conscious of it. And what we don't understand is that the beautiful way that our mind works, once we start a habit, then the habit catches on. And since we made the habit, now the habit makes us. So we may put forth some effort to develop some habits where we're not putting a lot of information out about ourselves. Then when you go to do something like that, because it's now a habit, you automatically, your mind says, uh-oh, you know, you may want to consider this. And if you're not putting anything in there in your mind, there's nothing going to come out. So you have to put something in there in order for something to come out. And it has to reach the subconscious mind. And that happens by repetition. All right. So in that movie or the documentary called Terms and Conditions May Apply, they were interviewing people from the CIA. All right. And the CIA representative there was applauding digital technology because they said that they can gather more, they have gathered more information about people on Facebook than they have on all of their other means of getting information combined. And I said that right. All the means they use to gather information, they get more from what people put on Facebook and social media, but they mention Facebook specifically, than all the other methods combined. Now, I've had people say to me, well, Brother Knight, you know, I don't have nothing to hide, so I don't have anything to really worry about. Well, you may not have something to hide now, but if you privacy is a birthright. And but when you give it away, you are now entered into a contract that you're being held accountable for. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm very particular about what I allow my family to put on Facebook in relation to what's my home and what's in my home. And, you know, lots of times people put things on there and they take pictures of themselves in certain places in their house and everything else. And so you have criminals who look at this and they're looking at the stuff in the background and you're posting that you out of the country, you in London and everything else. And it's just too much information, you know, TMI. It's too much information put out there, lots of times put out there because people want to be social media influencers and just some people are just lonely and just want attention. But I think too much technology is bad. You know, it wasn't so bad back in the day when we didn't have cell phones mm-hmm. and electronic devices that mm-hmm. track us down. And another thing is you got other AI technology like Alexa and Google mm-hmm. Chrome. I have Alexa at my house, and a lot of people don't know how to stop Alexa from listening.
Unplug that joint.
Well, yeah, you can unplug it, that's for sure. And I know some people who would not have that. I mean, for me, I know mm-hmm. how to work it. There's a button mm-hmm. on it. There's a microphone button. And you hit that button, then Alexa's not listening. Mm-hmm. But if you don't hit that button, that machine is listening and waiting on a command, waiting to hear the voice, Alexa, or whatever voice you have programmed in it, so that they can answer you. So they're always listening. If something happens in your home, law enforcement can go into that device and it can go back to the time that things were going on and listen. And he can correct me, and the author can correct me on this, mm-hmm. and get the evidence by listening to what conversation was going on at that particular time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to be careful and not just do things because somebody else is doing them. And just be careful of technology because it can be very invasive.
Oh, absolutely. I have to share the story because Jay...
I saw her tapping you.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Mm. I don't want to lose the thought. This is a quick story. Take a few minutes. And by the way, we will have Wayne back. We're going to have Wayne back. So, you know, if we don't get everything answered today, he'll be back. But I want to touch on this is around the time the device called Alexa came out. A good friend of mine, his name is Euro, he's a very good journalist. He had a radio show, television show in New York, and I mean, he's one of the best journalists that I know. And he had a friend of his who called him, and he said he was carrying on about his wife had purchased, or I don't know if his wife or someone had purchased him that device, Alexa, as a gift, and he was happy to have it because it just came out and very popular and everything. Well, Euro said, man, you have to be careful with that thing because, you know, it records things. You don't even know it's recording and you don't know what this capability is. He said, oh, no, man, it's like it's so cool. I can listen to my radio. I can tune in my radio. And the guy went on and he said, all right, no problem. Just letting you know. Now, fast forward about 2 or 3 weeks later, it may have been a month later. I forget exactly when. But he called up Euro. He said, man, you were right about this Alexa thing. He said, me and my wife got into a conversation and we were arguing and Alexa's called the police. The police came and took me to jail because Alexis called them and they assumed that, you know, it was some type of abuse or something going on. And it took the brother to jail. It also happened to be an African-American brother.
And, I've heard stories of that. You know, but that and Google Chrome, those are the two main devices.
You have to be careful. And like Jay said, you have to know how to use the device. You know, I don't have one. I don't have plans to get one.
It has instructions. You know, I mean, there are instructions for these things. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, just because somebody else has it mm-hmm. doesn't mean that you need to run out and get it unless you understand what it is. This technology is invasive.
That's right. Get yourself in trouble with that stuff. You're not careful. Go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to say that it's also important. It's not only you, but maybe your children and grandchildren. I had a client who, older, senior, but they're very savvy, but they almost got tricked into a scam because somebody called and said their grandson was in jail because of this and that. Mm. And the grandson had put that he was going to a funeral to support his friend and where he was going to be. And these criminals had all the information. So the grandparents thought that it was actually happening. So it's not only what you put on, but what your children and grandchildren put on.
And there's actually a movie that addresses this whole situation that I tell a lot of people that the title is deceiving, but it's called The Beekeeper.
Oh yeah, I knew that's what you're gonna say. Go ahead.
The Beekeeper. Mm-hmm. And it's Felicia Rashad.
That's right.
Is in the movie The mm-hmm. Beekeeper, mm-hmm. and she was in charge of over $2 million fund mm-hmm. for a nonprofit.
That's
she
right.
was in
that's
charge
right.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a company, like the companies that actually do exist, with the intent of stealing from you.
Correct.
And and I want you to expound on that, because you said correct, because I must have hit a nerve right there when I said mm-hmm. that. And she thought that something was crazy, and it came from something that just popped up on her computer. And those of you listening online, you've had things pop up on your phone. You've had things pop up on your computer that says, your computer's infected. It's infected. Click here right away, and we can clean it up. And some people just click the button. Now, she saw this, and instead of her clicking the button, she decided to call the number. And when she called the number, they answered the phone and said, yes, we detected this on your computer. That's why we sent it to you, and we can get it off. All you have to do is click on this button right here, and we will free your computer of what's going on. And when they did, they had complete access to everything,
mm-hmm.
her bank account, everything else, mm-hmm. and with a push of a button. And he was instructing the other thieves in this company. It was like maybe, 50?
Like a training thing and around.
It was a training. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like a training.
Mm-hmm.
And he was training. He said, watch this. He said, this is how you do it. And he hit the button, and they actually had a screen that showed all of the money from her account being wiped out in seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And she went to her account and saw that it was zero. So you have to see it for yourself, and ended up killing herself and committing suicide.
Yeah. And right. We won't tell you who the beekeeper is, but that's one of my favorite all-time movies, because personally, I have a very soft spot, very near and dear to me, how our elderly are being treated and how this country is allowing people to make them prey. You know, to prey on them, to get them to sign into stuff and to get them to accept different things that they completely understand, the way they ask them questions. And if they answer the way they ask the question, the senior citizen doesn't know that they're consenting to something. And once they consent to it, then they move forward. What is it trying to offer?
Ask the expert, because you said mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, you're exactly correct when I was talking about the beekeeper. You had mm-hmm. some other things to say about that stealing of information.
Go ahead, Wayne.
I'm absolutely agreeing with you guys here as you share some of these points here. These are all important aspects of where we are right now in different ways. There's spams and scams and so on that you need to be aware of. They're coming through text. They're coming through emails. If you don't recognize an email and where it's coming from, don't click on it, because those are all called phishing.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, they're phishing for your response, and in the example of the beekeeper, the response that you give them will then determine whether or not there's a real live person over there, and in some ways, it actually opens up access to them. I'm hearing you guys, and it is so bang on in terms of the concerns that we have, that we're facing. And we're not coming from an alarmist perspective, we're coming from mm-hmm. an education and informing perspective, so I love this conversation. And so what we can do, and each chapter of the book, I share some, you know, some nuggets and so on. And one of those you just pointed out, Jade, is don't click on some of these things. It's that if you get a text,
delete them immediately.
Delete them. Mm-hmm. Ignore them.
And that's right.
And they're coming in some very inconspicuous and ways in which make you think that it's coming from a legitimate source.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Michelle shared, you know. There is a well-known story, and there's a number of those, you know, where people are posing as a family member and saying they're in need. They're using AI. You know, Jay, you mentioned, Alexa and
Google Chrome. Google
Chrome. People don't realize that those are all AI. They're listening to your voices to be able to understand who you, and they're getting, the more they hear your voice, the more they learn. And to be able to give a proper instruction, obviously, to respond to your instruction properly. But there are concerns there in where this is all going.
Right.
That's really the bottom line. Where is it all heading for our future. You know, we can't, the train has left the station. This is an analogy I like to use, okay? The train has left the station. You can't get off the train, okay, when in terms of technology. Technology is an innovation. It's here to stay, and it's bringing efficiency and so on. But what we can do is protect ourselves, and we can take some action by educating and informing and being, you know, aware of some of these things. I'm going to give you a quick, if it's okay, I'm going to give you a quick story about AI. Is it okay to do that?
Sure.
Okay. So, AI drives efficiency. There's so much value in AI, and, you know, when it comes to what AI is doing right now, it's like we are in some ways, we are like behind a hose, okay, of water, just because information is coming at us so rapidly. It's like, you know, we're drinking from a hose. And that's part of the AI revolution. It's part of the technology revolution. But one of the challenges that's facing our community, okay, if I may go here, is that we're not as perhaps as we're consumers to some extent. And I'm being general, but I know that, you know, this doesn't apply to everyone. You know, we're consumers of information, consumers of systems, consumers of stuff. And you know, we need to be in a place where, and there are some great technology minds out there, black technology minds, black innovators. There's some great stuff, and they're just not getting the attention and the platform that they deserve. And one of the reasons why I look at this book is such, from a, you know, as a black author writing this and putting this out there, I value our community, I value our what we can do in changing the world and getting the recognition. But AI specifically, you know, is underpinning everything. You look at vehicles, you look at automated vehicles, you look at, you know, the social media, various places. Well, there's a TV show that's called, it's actually, maybe it was an old one, I'm not sure if they're still on right now, it's called American Autos. Okay, American Motors, and it's quite a humorous look at the automobile industry as a sitcom. And in that episode that I'm going to refer to here is that, first of all, the CEO is a white lady from Saturday Night Live. She's hilarious, and her vice president, a right hand person, you know, of the company, is an intelligent black, young whippersnapper that knows technology, you know, inside out and so on. And so they, on this particular episode, they're always talking about the automobile industry and how forward thinking they are and how much they've done for change. So they go for this walk on this, on the lot where, you know, they're test driving the cars and so on. And these cars are self-driving. And so they're walking along, daytime walking across and seeing these cars go back and forth. And she's, the president and CEO, is enamored. She's enamored. She's like, wow, this is amazing. You mean we did this? These cars are driving by themselves. And he's, you know, the vice president saying, yes, of course. You know, we did all this. This is ours. So she walks in front of one of the cars, and it stops. And she goes, oh, my goodness, there's nobody in that. The car stopped. She's just, you know, having a hoot. Well, she walks by, and then next you know, the vice president, he walks in front of the car, and the car hits him.
Mm.
He gets up, and everybody runs to his and saying, what happened? What happened? Why is this? And they're apologizing and so on. And then the lead developer or one of, you know, or came and said, oh my goodness, it looks like there's some biases in the programming, because it doesn't recognize shades of people.
Mm.
I say that story because that's a tongue in cheek story of showing you that, you know, who programs the systems determines the outcome. Mm. And so with AI and with technology, we need to be at the table. We need to be at the table, not only from a consuming perspective, but from an innovative and also to decision-making. And the way we do that is by having knowledge, by having this information, being armed with this, by doing... I did a lot of research for this. It's not just based on my own experience. I've done a ton of research on this. And there are many other books on a similar topic and so on that's out there. But I got to say that we need to be at the table. We need to be not just users of, because we're using the devices on a regular basis, but we need to be at the table in making in some of those decisions. Because these biases are inherent in a lot of the systems.
Mm. One of the things that concerns me, and I saw, I can't remember this program that I saw, of one of the developers of AI, was on 60 Minutes, and he was discussing his fears with the technology, because back in the day, I don't know if you all remember, some of you may remember, some of you didn't, don't remember it. There was a movie called Big Brother. And basically, it was computers getting to the point where they were so advanced that they started teaching each other. And it got to the point where they felt like we were inferior because they were teaching each other and we weren't smart enough. So they wanted to get rid of mankind. And that was one of his fears. And he said the same thing that you're saying, that we need to be at the table. And even though AI has its benefits, it can't get out of hand. And we can't let it get to the point where it's basically teaching us out of existence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I would add to that, Jay, that the fact that once we become more aware of the capacity, the capabilities of artificial intelligence, and as well as how these devices are used. And again, it's not personal for these people. It's all about money. I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar industry that you are giving them the resource to earn this money. And so we're going to take that opportunity to let Wayne give his contact information, website address, name of the book, where they can obtain the book, whatever he wants to provide the listening audience so they can have armor themselves with this information. Please do so,
excellent.
Wayne.
Excellent. Thank you. Thoroughly appreciate and enjoy this, and so looking forward to another opportunity. With regard to reaching out to me, I'm going to give you two simple ways of doing that. One, you can go to the website, reclaimyourdigitalgold.com. That's the website which has the book, it has some videos, it has a video out there, it's got a little bit about the various things that I've done, some of the speaking engagements I've had, you can listen to some of those too, and you can also put your email address in there, and that will come to me, okay? And I will give you a free chapter in the book. You will actually get that when you actually register on that. The other way of reaching out to me, you can go to either one of those. I have another book that's coming. Okay, and I'm going to give that book away, the e-book version of that book away for anyone who registers and reaches out to me on that. And it's called the site is four EVER. Profits.com. And this is a book about the digital marketing and how you can create an income online, and just it really equips you with, if anyone is looking to learn about the online space, and you know, talk about the positives and the negatives. Well, the positive is income opportunities, growth opportunities, development, and so on. And so if you go to either of the sites, they will come directly to me, but the number four ever, EVER profits with an S.com. Put your email in there. You'll get some information. The free book, ebook, will be sent to you. That will be, as an online income blueprint is the name of that book that's coming out. And you will get more information also too about the digital marketing space, which is covered out in the book. So great information that can come your way. Either one. ReclaimYourDigitalGold.com or the number four, EVER, profits.com will come directly to me, and I'll gladly respond to you and connect with you.
All right, Wayne, before we go, I just have one quick question.
Yes.
Is there a terms and agreement attached on websites you've given us, and do we need to read those?
No
TNC
on my website.
All right, I have to mess with you. So I just want to put that out there. Go ahead. What is
TNC on there? What you get with me is authenticity and transparency and any way I can be of help to you and your audience, I'm here for you. I'm here to serve.
All right. Thank you so much, Wayne. And thank you for tuning in to Rules for Successful Living on WHOV 88.1. Have a peaceful and enjoyable weekend.
And one thing we want to do, tell them that we are moving the show to Saturday. Probably next week, if not next week, the following week, it'll be at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning for you early risers, so you can start your day with Rules for Successful Living. So keep listening for the promo and more details.
And I will be setting up a website for past shows and any podcasts.
You've been listening to Rules for Successful Living, a journey into your daily mental, spiritual, and physical being. Your body is your house for your entire life. Love it. Join us next week for another edition of Rules for Successful Living with Brother Naeem Bey. on Smooth 88.1 WHOV.
Hampton University Radio is Smooth 88.1 WHOV Hampton.